And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Test.
That's your talk.
That's my mic.
Test. There we go. Got to push in buttons and stuff. Damn. Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in the Forest of. We're in Western Pennsylvania, and I thought I had the stuff. I'll check it during the other. Get my compressor thing on and working, because if I don't have that, then when I yell it. You know, everybody yells at me. All right. What we're going to do today is get you caught up. Let me get this down. One. There. Turn that up. One. I thought I had it set. Sorry, guys. Okay, now turn that one down. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. All right, that's better. All right. We're doing it. We can do it. I can't wait to get back to Love Bus, man. Damn. I'm going to call them today and see how they're doing on the engine. We might have some stuff done, other stuff, and everything be all rock and roll and whatnot. We're in Western Pennsylvania on I-80 on the first KOA going into Pennsylvania. It's the first one, right? Yeah, it's a really nice place here. I'm going, God, man, we could stay here another day and I get some work done. But, nope, got to get back east. So we'll get on to it again when we get there. You go to lovebuslibertytour.com, and Donna's updating the pictures and stuff, what happened this weekend. Now, we had on the show last Friday a young man named Al. That what we did is when we stopped at Rick's family, a family that's been vaccine damaged, and they're just like, oh, yeah, they're in. They went to Pork Fest, meet the Love Bus and say, yo, what's up? And we got the – how I met him is at the poker table, you know. His sons-in-law and everybody kind of – they're playing pose, what's up? You know, I will take your money. Well, I think they took some of my money too. But what we'll do is tell you what happened this weekend. We – planned for, it was probably like a month and a half later that we said, look, man, we'll go to Michigan, and we want to go to Upper Michigan because nobody lives on Upper Michigan. So we went there, did a bunch of signs and so on. We talked about that. Then Thursday night, we had them all set up, and we drive out the first intersection. There's a couple of young men up there holding the signs. COVID is a hoax. COVID-19 is a hoax. Take off your mask, Michigan. Oh, here it comes. It's starting. They were there 20 minutes before we got there, and they said it was 80-20 in support. They were like, man, we thought it would be like, you know, maybe 20% would be in support. It is overwhelming. People going, nah, I think we'll decline if they could. So you have all these. This is what happened. You shut down all the businesses. Then you say, some of you businesses can come on if you get your compliance officer or someone of, you know, the COVID-19, you know, Sieg Heil Nazi that can sit out front and make sure and the mat and all this kind of stuff, and you can open. So then they open. You got the big box store. You know, of course, Walmart stayed open. You know, Amazon stayed open. You got filthy, stinking drivers, you know, delivering COVID to you, and all of a sudden, blah, 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 blah. So then they need to take out mom and pop. Mom and pop, you know, the backbone America, small businesses, nope, did you get your permit? Well, I go, oh, I got a permit. I did it right. I'm being a mask, a face diaper Nazi. I'm, you know, okay, you can open. So then you have hair salons, you got to have masks on to get your hair cut. You got to this, you got to that, you got to, yada, yada, and you will comply. Well, people are like, yeah, I think I'll decline if they can. Now, if you just made the effort, I mean, all you listening to this, I mean, you know, if you're, you feel genuinely threatened or you're older or think that you're better off with a mask, you know, peace. I'm not going to say can't, you know, that's just as bad. You're not allowed, you know, that, you know, bite me, which is what, you know, a lot of people, they'll wear masks because they say you can't. Oh, yeah? Well, here, I'm going to put this guy mask, the Guy Fox mask on. Now what? Well, better have a filter. So then you go to this young man. He come on the show Friday. And if you heard the rerun yesterday, you know, you probably heard that. And it's very inspiring to have a 20-year-old just go, you know, and it always comes from his dad, or it's an uncle, or it's a neighbor, friend, coach, teacher, boss. You know, there's always some older, been around the block a couple times, kind of explain it to you, show you some stuff, boom. And that's what's happening all over this country. People are going, no. And it was like March 15th. It was the middle of March. It was like a week before they started doing the lockdown. I go, yeah, I'm calling a hoax. I'm calling BS on it. There may be some COVID-19, but that is inconsequential to what they're going to do to us, you know, in the name of. Well, Friday we went and made, we started in mass production. We got done with the show. We went over. We'd be making hundreds of signs. And so we put them all up Friday, Saturday morning, like 3 a.m., you know, from midnight on Friday night for a few hours. Donna went out with Rick, and then the other Al and his friends and some other people went out and put up a bunch of signs. To the point that they're mass produce, I'm like, damn, I gotta leave these guys some material. So I gave them like, I don't know, 100 yards of 61 inch wide sign material for the big ones, and then a bunch of the small little campaign yard signs and so on, and left them some stencils, and they're working at it. They're going at it. But I need to take some with me. We could have stopped by Chicago, but that was 4 hours going west. We had to go back east. So I'm like, dang it, you know, we'll pick some more up on our way to the Pacific Northwest. The company there has what we need, and it's just a pain in the butt to get anything delivered now, so it's better off just to pick it up. So we got like, 100 yards or so of the stuff that we can do, God, hundreds of signs. So we are taking that back to the East Coast with us in New England, and we're going to be, you know, giving them some. That was one thing. A friend of mine lives in northern, or has a home in Tingsboro, northern Massachusetts. So it's like, I don't know, half hour, 40 minutes from Manchester. And I'm going, yeah, we'll do his hometown. I like doing small towns. You know, it'd be a little in space. You know, small towns which are suburbs of, you know, Boston kind of thing. So I go, all right, we'll go down there. We'll do some Massachusetts. And I'm telling Bob, we're going to do Tingsboro because we can. So we'll go ahead and, you know, do that, and then maybe we'll get into the bigger. It's just to spark it all over the place. We're, you know, Don and I, we do some. We put them in, you know, the rest areas and on the highways, and every now and then, yeah, that's a really good play. We'll just do that. Let's pull over here. I need to go to the bathroom. Yeah. And put up a couple of signs while I'm at it. Just on the side of the road. So it's starting to hit. Now, one thing that we did is there's a method of using, it's called waterproof wallboard, and it's like a thick vinyl. It's probably about 2-3 millimeters thick, and it's made for waterproofing showers before you tile it and stuff. This is not a common product everywhere, but in humid areas, they happen to have it in Michigan Home Depot or something. They go, oh, there it is. Oh, give me some. So we get that. And we purchased another digital projector. We have one on the bus, but we didn't have it with us. So I tell you what we did with that when we come back. Oh, we were being very naughty. And Donna's got the pictures up. We'll be right back in just a little bit here to declare your independence.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Okay, I think I got the compressor on. Didn't work. Okay, good. All right, let me tell you what's up. What's up? One of the techniques, I want to play this one YouTube. It's only a couple minutes since Awaken with JP, you know, on how to, you know, what's like getting censored on YouTube and so on. And it's just a really good piece that kind of describes what's going on. And it's kind of fun and it's good audio. And it's just him, hey, I got censored. So he himself plays the YouTube censor guy, you know, and they have a conversation and kind of tell you what's up. Now, the one of the other signs that we did, we used a technique called, stenciling. We take a digital projector and project anything up, but it needs to be in stencil, you know, so that, you know, the pieces don't fall out and all that kind of stuff. But so they wanted to do hashtag expose Bill Gates. Now, one of the things that we do as a method is that we never go after an individual. It's just they get defended, then you're fighting an individual, it's a waste of time. But Bill Gates thing, I mean, we may not be like putting it on the bus or anything, but, you know, definitely not going to tell him I'm not going to help him make a sign, I can tell you that. So we took a digital projector and you put it up. Just imagine a 4x8 sheet of plywood, you know. Now, this is really a lot thinner, and it's like a thick vinyl, like a linoleum floor that's easy to cut with a hook razor. And you put the image up on the wall, you tape it up on the wall, and you trace it out with Sharpies or pencils or whatever, and then you take these knives and you just cut it out. What's good about this product is that it lays flat. When you put it in, especially if you warm it up, put it out in the sun or something, it'll just lay flat and you can just stencil. Now, you can hold it down with sticks or rocks or whatever, you know, make it. But it's just slam, bam, light, you know, on white with a light coat of black paint. Boom! Expose Bill Gates 8 feet wide, okay? And about, I don't know, 15 inches tall. So we get to make a bunch of those stencils, and then they just take them. You know, they go, I got material, I got cardboard, I got, you know, whatever. Boom, a sheet. You know, wouldn't that be a cool? We had, you know, some old sheets. Donna got new sheets. We had these sheets for a long time. Now, these are nice sheets when they're new. It's kind of shiny, you know. But the old ones, I'm going, don't throw that out. We can make a sign, you know. What if everybody made signs with just old sheets? Get an old sheet. Then you just put out, I don't know, expose Bill Gates or something. You know, you could do it with freaking the Sharpies, you know, a paintbrush, you know, with whatever. And they're like, oh, those are just old. They're like homemade. Yes, they are. That's my favorite kind. I'm like, that, you know, somebody took the effort and repurposed, and here it is. So you put that out, and after a while, oh, you can't, in free speech of your, and then it gets to the point where everybody knows that a sheet means that. They just put out a sheet. They don't even have to write on it. It's the sheet revolution. You know, so it happens like umbrella revolutions and the purple this revolution and whatever revolution. So it's just a sheet revolution. Anyway, you know, stuff like that happens. I'm sorry, what did you say, Don?
You said the other day people should air their dirty laundry.
Yeah. I'm going, air the dirty laundry of the man, you know. So anyway, yeah, a thought. But so you don't want to throw away anything you can you could express yourself with. So what happened was we made these signs, exposed Bill Gates, and just because it's thin and we have so much of that material, wow, and it goes so fast. It's one color, and it's just boom, 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 boom. They made a lot of them, and they put them up. The thing is that in a lot of these areas, we're finding there's not outside of, like, urban areas, there's not that much chain link, but there's lots and lots of bushes and trees that and, you know, little saplings that you can, there's, you can be. These guys are creative, man. You know, they put this stuff out. So you project the image up there. You trace it out. You cut it out. Donna's got some pictures up there. We got videos that I'm still working on and so on. I promised my grandkids I'd have it done like yesterday. So I'm, you know, so we're working. And the video that we have already, God, it's going to have to be probably 4. You know, if you want to keep it under 10 minutes, you know, like 5-7 minutes is a good video. It's going to have to be, yeah, You know, I'm going to have to do a few. And we've done a lot of stuff, and we wanted to get it out right away and show and inspire, and it's already starting. One thing was is we started – the guys there started getting feedback from people that were friends on Facebook. Hey, we saw you waving, you know, the original signs and these signs up and starting to hit Facebook. The problem is I'm going, yeah, anybody else, you know, no. What Facebook has done is they've done it regionally. You know, it's kind of, yeah, you got the echo chamber of philosophy and then echo chamber of geography. So they keep it in. It's not about the news. It's about the olds and its spin and keeping it local and regionalized and so on that people are sharing in a geographic area of Michigan. And how he knew is some of his friends that live in Michigan that went back to school or classes around the country, they would see it from Michigan, you know, because they were on the Michigan, you know, playground or something of Facebook. So I'm going, which is all the more reason why we have to keep traveling. You know, it's just, it's not that you can just do it in one, you know, we hit Upper Michigan, boom, they all know, boom, Central Michigan, boom, Maine knows, boom, New Hampshire. You got to go to like every state. You just got to. So that's what we're doing. You know, we can't figure that's, yeah, you know, it doesn't, I don't care. You know, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You got to go, you know, around the country. You got to go, I know how this goes. So that's what we're doing. Now, we left them a bunch of material and a station. They had a ping pong table worked out perfectly because the width of 61 inches of this material that we got, you know, by 250 yards, and then we got another 100 yard of blue and 100 yard of yellow. So right when they go, those white signs. The reason I did that is I remember we had a newspaper box in front of the federal building in downtown Phoenix. And that newspaper box, you know, we had a newspaper and so on, and we put stuff in there. And keeping it stocked up all the time was, you know, a pain in the butt. So what we did is we put jury nullification flyers in there, little trifolds, and we just stacked it in there. You just open it up and you grab one. Well, it got to the point to where the man, they were not digging, you know, people doing that. So there was a big trial on something that was government being stupid. And the judge says, you are not allowed to look at or possess those yellow flyers because we had them on, or goldenrod. We had them on like a, you know, an orange kind of thing or yellow or something. And you're not allowed to do those orange flyers. Stop thinking about boats. So the judge actually said this. And we're going, really? So we got stacks, reams of paper that came in rainbow colors. You could just get, it just had all the colors in there. So we just put it in the printing press and printed all these different colors. All right, now you got to say, you know, any color. Because he went by the color of the flyer. What was, he didn't, you know, I'm not censoring the content, it's the color or something. What, I mean, these people, they don't even hear themselves talk. You know, so we do that. I know, because we can do that. So we're going to go ahead. When we come back, I'll start off with this video about being censored. And I just think it's, I think it's worth a discussion. It's appropriate. And if you go to the show today, declare your independence or standcock.com or freedomphoenix.com, top right, declare your independence, you know, Donna will have the link to the photos. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Or not. You know, you want to stay up to speed of what's kind of going on behind the scenes. Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock on Telegram and the Space Love Space Bus Space Tour. No, the shit. The, I'm sorry, Love Bus Liberty Tour, you know, with spaces in between the words. Love Bus Liberty Tour, and you do that on Telegram, and you'll see, you know, a lot of Declare and that, you know, get a lot of the same thing. But the Love Bus really is more about, you know, the activism and what we're doing on the tour and getting some news and everything. And it's you know, it's a going. And around the country, around the world, and
Europe. I mean, London, Trafalgar Square, you know, David Icke's up there giving what for cheering crowds and stuff. He ought to be feeling pretty good. You know, you have in Berlin, people are going, hell no. And in the U.S., just kind of a general, you know, you're lucky we were compliant, and now we're like, yeah, I think no. So I was talking to my children, my daughter and son and their spouses and kids and everything last night. Don and I were catching up there over and just were hanging. And they said, yeah, Mountain Fitness is a really nice. I mean, these are the guys that have the marble-walled showers. I mean, in the anteroom going into the male and female gym, they got, like, big giant screen TVs to play video games on. I mean, they got, you know, parents get to go out night, you know, once a month or something. You can drop your kids off, and they play in a gym. You get to go to a movie. And stuff. I mean, it's like a club. You know, the Mountain Fitness is a threat to, like, any and everybody, and it may have something to do with it. But it's awesome place. I've gone a couple of times with my son-in-law. I was at LA Fitness. Well, this place just blew it away. It's like a country club. And, you know, it's a regular gym membership thing. It's just very nice. Well, they shut him down. Yeah, you shut down. So he files suit. He loses. He appeals. He wins. They appeal. He loses. Back, you know, does the government have the right to shut you? So finally it got just a week or two ago. He's, you know, screw, we're open. You know, get over it. They hired a third-party consultant to do some viral mitigation of blah, 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 you know, and working out in a mask, not a good idea. So they go, all right, when you're going from station to station, pull your mask up. But while you're working out and breathing hard, you know, you pull it down, and, you know, just stupid stuff like that. And then the state goes, well, we're gonna shut down your water fountains. Bring your own water. You can't get hydrated working out with, you know, the city, the fountain of some just stupid stuff. And this has been, you're not allowed to take your own risks. People are playing the game. They're going through it. You know, it's kind of like Trump's doing. Oh, well, we got to, you know, we'll go through. We'll, you know, and then it's done. So we'll see what happens. This is a big Marxist take. You know, I don't say that a lot, all this Marxist. It is a religion, a philosophy, a movement, they've been building up to, and it's been, this is when I say, it won't happen all at once. You know, you'll see all the different ethnic class this and diversity that, and we got from each according to, and to each according to needs, and, you know, from each according to their ability, and to the needy people of, we're going to take your money and redistribute it, and we're going to do it better than the other party kind of thing. And you can see it coming. But then it happens. It won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. And this COVID thing was an over-freaking night. Now, there is a video that we had up that somebody sent Bill and Melinda Gates. And Melinda's going, you know, I'll play it for you. You know, it was hilarious. It was. She goes, oh, no, my husband would never. No, he's vaccinating and microchip everybody. That technology doesn't even exist, and he's never said it. And everybody's like, wow. Okay. You know, all right. So I'm going to play this. It's Awaken with JT. Now, he's a long, red-haired guy in really good shape, and he's always kind of being satirical, you know, about stuff. And he's putting up a lot of YouTubes, and he's not like a Trump fan or anything, but this cancel culture deal, man, he's really all over this. So it shows him in his living room, and he's like, oh, my video got canceled. So then he goes and he knocks on, you know, probably one of his bedroom doors, says YouTube in it, and he goes in, and it's him playing the YouTube censorship guy. This conversation is interesting. Let's give it a listen.
What the heck? Video's gone. This video was removed from YouTube. What? You're censoring me?
He grabs his car keys, and he's going to YouTube. Helpless desk.
Hi, you just censored my video.
Sure did.
Why?
You violated our community guidelines.
I violated your community guidelines. Could you be more specific?
You violated our community guidelines.
Could you be a little more specific on what I did?
You violated our community guidelines.
Well, that doesn't tell me anything.
Let me put it to you this way. You violated our community guidelines.
My video wasn't hurting anyone. I don't understand why you would censor me.
Oh, right. It says here you violated our community guidelines. Who even writes your community guidelines? Not our community, I can tell you that. Lately, you've been censoring doctors sharing their valid medical opinion. You've been banning their videos too. Why? Well, their medical expertise violates our community guidelines.
But you guys aren't doctors.
Yeah, we're not.
Then why would you censor what doctors have to say?
Because we control speech.
You think you can control speech?
No, not at all. We do control speech.
Why would you want to do that?
Because we have community guidelines, and it's important that the community only speaks what's in alignment with the community guidelines. Otherwise, we'll censor the community for the community's own good. It's like communism without the cold weather.
But that infringes on freedom of speech.
Oh no, not at all. Our community is free to say what we tell them they can say.
But that's not freedom of speech.
It is according to our community guidelines.
But not according to the Constitution.
We don't have to abide by the Constitution because we're a private enterprise.
You're a monopoly.
Thank you. There's gotta be a reason why you're doing all this. Censoring speech, banning videos by doctors talking about hydroxychloroquine, censoring anything about the coronavirus that doesn't perfectly align with the mainstream narrative. What's the reason? Oh, a reason? Yeah, absolutely. We don't want Trump reelected.
What?
Yeah, ever since COVID got politicized, we decided to ban anything that doesn't support the left's perspective.
So you just decided to censor people?
Well, they were violating our community guidelines.
Got it. And those were written in a way that goes against Trump and supports the left.
Exactly. You are currently not violating our community guidelines.
Look, I'm not a fan of the guy, and a lot of people don't like him, but why are you so intent on keeping him out of office?
Here in Silicon Valley, we think Trump is all that's wrong in America. He is very un-American.
But by taking away people's First Amendment right to freedom of speech and controlling what the population can and can't say, like you're running a communist dictatorship, kind of makes what you're doing to save people from Trump much worse than what Trump's doing.
We choose not to see it that way. We are very American.
You are very un-American. I think someone needs to save us from you.
Our community guidelines that we've written for your protection will be all that you'll need. Take a copy.
This just says community guidelines.
Right. That's what you have to follow.
But what are the community guidelines?
Whatever we want them to be in the moment. This way it just stays pretty open-ended.
You have a dangerous level of power over people.
If you can't learn to enjoy conforming to the community guidelines and all the freedoms they give you, we'll be very happy to completely silence you by deplatforming you.
I think what you're doing is a very bad idea.
Yeah. You're violating community guidelines, which is what? Whatever the hell we say they are. And they have to double, triple, quadruple, you know, centuple down. Because what are they going to say? This is about not reelecting Trump. Why? I care who they want to tell me is my ruler. That's not even the point. But man, this free speech thing, this is how you get to the Second Amendment. This is why there's a Second Amendment, to support the First. We'll see what happens. And we'll talk about it more today. We got James Lyons Weiler on and Stephen Lendman. Stephen Lendman's been writing a lot about malarias and kind of stuff going on around.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Farum.
I want to break free from your lies. You're so
uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. Here's a good one. Okay. The quote is, I know my husband is not microchipping people because that technology doesn't exist yet. Now, this is on Live Forbes, an interview between Bill and Melinda Gates, and somebody captured it and put it on Facebook, and they sent it to me. And one of the patrons, he goes, man, you can add this to your list. And I'm like, man, I wonder if this will even stay up past tomorrow. Okay, so listen to this. And go.
I know my husband is not vaccinating people and putting a microchip in her arm because that technology doesn't even exist, and he's never uttered the words out of his mouth. So.
Yeah. And Dr. Evil and his group of, yeah. You know, it's, wow, the creativity of people. You know, that's what they're up against. You know, we don't need IEDs. We just need an internet connection, which is why they got to control it. Yep. We're having on the show today, Stephen Lemon's been writing. He does like 4 articles a day. Every morning, you know, we'll have him up there, and I don't even, whatever. Because he does a lot of good research, global research, and he's probably in his 80s now. And he's been on writing for us for, God, since like 06. I mean, early on, 07, 08. It was early on that he started writing. And he's gotten awards, you know, around the world. He got from the president of Mexico, so that tells you, you know, he's kind of liberal. And he has a lot of good stuff. He appears on Lou Rockwell quite a bit and so on. But the style that he does, it looks like when he gets up, he reads all the newspapers, he pulls different quotes down, and he kind of, on a certain subject, and then he'll craft it into whatever, you know, reported, stipulated facts that are in the mainstream media. And then he gives his opinion and so on. And usually his opinion, yeah, we need a better, bigger, badder Department of Government or something. And I'm like, no. You know, but... So we don't always agree, but I have him on, and we're going to do that again today, get caught up with him, because he's been covering Belarus. Is that what it is, Donna? Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
Belarus.
Okay, Belarus.
And maybe we can address some of the riots and stuff going on here, too, and maybe China.
Belarus, what happened was it's kind of here. It's like he's a Trump character, and he got elected for the 6th time, and a bunch of young people, no, and it's a big in-the-streets revolution of we don't like it, and now you quit it. It's kind of a Trump. So you don't know what the, you know, who's supposed to be in charge or not, and I don't care. You know, I don't care. You know, it's another, we got enough to worry about here. I'm so sick of being triggered. We got to worry about somebody else. Let them deal with it, you know? And if I want to go help them, go help them. Man, send somebody else's kid to go do it, you know, which is like, John Walker Lynn that went to help the Taliban, then we captured him, then we know what to do with him. I go, hell, that's the way you're supposed to do it. You want to go fight for some whatever the hell, peace out. Go knock yourself out, you know. But, you know, no, we need to do it and send your kid, you know. No. So, Belarus, is that how you say it?
Belarus.
So Belarus and Krib, what's his name? And kind of, you know, they got funny names. So this is Stephen. If you care, he's been writing a lot about it. Well, we got an email from a guy in Belarus, and he says, "Look, you know, he's a liar. This is not what's happened." Blah 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 blah. So he sent me a video, and we put it up over the weekend. And you read the English translation of what the kid was saying, and it's the same stuff. It's kind of a Black Lives Matter thing. I mean, not that they're, you know, left or right. I don't know. You know, they're just saying, yeah, and the cops came and beat me for, you know, and then they this and they that. And I'm going, you know, this is headlines now. So how do you know which side is what? I don't know. So that's why we're going to talk to Steve. All right, Steven, explain it to me. What the heck is going on? You know, and, you know, whether he's given accurate or our philosophical take on it or whatever, I really, you know, do I have to care about every single other country? You know, since a listener was, you know, really concerned about this, we'll just talk to Stephen about it. I'll ask questions. I can ask really good questions, especially when you don't know anything. You know, so we'll find out. Then James Lyons Weiler is a scientist on the Vaccine Education Summit that we've had, both education summits that we went. He's a very respected lab guy that's kind of, man, I explain it to you. Well, he's seen all the stuff that we're doing, and he's like, man, God, come on. God, explain it to you. All right. Come on. So he'll be on in the second hour. So James will be on the second hour, and that'll be of interest to everyone. You should do that. And so, but there's just so much news that happens over the weekend, and a lot of it is economy. You know, it's how long can Trump drag this out? You know, before the collapse. You know, they want it to go before the election. I don't think it's going to matter either way. You know, it's like people that we're driving around the country, and what signs are we seeing everywhere, Donna?
Trump.
Trump flags, Trump signs, Trump. They like the flag thing, man. They definitely got a bunch of flags. They're the flag makers are making some money. You know, and this is in light of, you know, this headline doesn't surprise me, but a majority of young adults in the U.S., and I think they're looking 18 to 29-year-olds, a majority, more than half, of young adults in the U.S. live with their parents for the first time since the Great Depression. This is, you know, then you have a lot of parents living with their kids. You know, that's growing, not that necessarily a bad thing, but, you know, this is, you're going to see differences in how households are structured. It's going to be, and you can tell who has teenage children. That's like Rick, you know, it's like us when the kids are in high school. How many cars do we got? You know, it's going to be, I have sheltered beds under, you know, on my property. That's a parking lot. we got cars. You go down the road and you'll see, yep, they got teenagers. You know, there's six cars out front, you know, and then whatever else they got. So I'm, now that's a bad thing. Multi-generational homes was a thing. You know, you had the babies, you know, and you had the parents and you had the grandparents. And a lot of people came out okay with that. Now, in Australia, there's a lot of things happening over the weekend. Australians are starting to call BS on this crackdown. And the lockdowns, they are taking it serious. Hey. We're like, we got this royal link, man. We're a Commonwealth of Queens on our money. And we say stay inside, you stay inside. And if you bitch about it or you say anything on Facebook, we're going to come explain it to you. And they do. They're doing, wow, how is this going to hold up? You see, this is what's going to happen. Here in the U.S., around the country, they're going to go, yep, our judges have ruled that we have, in the name of health and safety, you're not allowed and you can't, and we rule you. They're going to do it. In the name of health and safety. Sobriety checkpoints, health and safety. See, checkpoints is illegal as hell. That is a dragnet. That is, you know, papers, please. Now we can do it for health and safety reasons. Because you might be drinking. Then they go, wait, even the ACLU. Well, protections don't count 100 miles from the border. You know what percentage of the U.S. population lives within 100 miles of the border? Think about it. That's the coast of California. That's the eastern seaboard. You know, you got along the Mexican and Canadian border, 100 miles from the border, heck, just on the east and west coast. That's a lot of gazillions of people. So they're just, nope, you're not allowed. You know, we're going to explain it to you. Okay. So then what? What are you going to do? My constitutional rights of am I being detained? Now, a lot of brave individuals, am I being detained? Am I free to go? Then they cite you for blocking traffic. Yeah, you're blocking traffic because you wouldn't let me go. Go, oh, you didn't. All you had to do is say you're a U.S. citizen. You just had to say it. We want you to say it. You're a U.S. citizen. Say it. I wouldn't say it. I go, I was born in a hospital in Florida. They go, what? I go, I don't know. That sounds like a legal question to me. I was born in a hospital in Florida. You figure it out. Never mind, go. You know, middle-aged, you know, white guy, chubby, kind of beard. Yeah, whatever. You look American, you know. Give me a flip, I get your American. Till they don't like it. Then they pull you over. Going to secondary. Nope. I think I'll decline. Same thing with the math. Who are the ones that just say, nah, I'm good? Be polite about it. Be nice. Make them say it! Be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And we're back. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. No, we're not in Phoenix. We're in western Pennsylvania somewhere or something. You know, what we're going to do is we got James Lyons-Weiler on. Now, James has been a speaker at our vaccine education summits, and he's a scientist on he knows what's up. So what we're going to do is, be talking to him and get some where we're at in a lot of things. And, of course, you know, he's been paying attention to, you know, our activism and the signs and the stuff that we're doing and kicking buttons. So what we're going to go ahead and do, but I need to get an update because we got our head down, man. We're plowing. You know, we're doing lots of work. Now, you go to the first hour of Declare Your Independence Today's show, which is September 8th, 2020, and you'll see, you know, how we're doing it, you know, what we're doing and where we're doing it. And there's templates there for you to download to make your own signs. And once you get inspired in different ways of doing it, well, hell, you can do it yourself. And there's you project it up onto this waterproof wallboard stuff, like a thick vinyl. You trace it out and you cut it and boom, you can make a gazillion signs. Now, we have James Lyons-Weiler. He is author, CEO, president, and scientist of all kinds of stuff. Now, what we're going to do is I want to talk about some of his books and have him introduce himself and what he's started a new college now. He's going to, you know, get people trained on some stuff. James, tell us everything, will you please?
Yeah, hey, Ernest, I have to tell you, your team is making waves all over the place. I'm hearing such great things. Everything that you guys have going on, going coast to coast, I think it's brilliant. And thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, so, no, my pleasure. Now, go ahead and let's go ahead and introduce you, you know, properly. Go ahead and tell me, you know, the books you've written, you know, your lab and what you do, you know, and how you're developing tools for people as we're getting into deeper and deeper into we need your expertise. So go ahead, you know, give us your bio.
Yeah, sure. So I'm a biomedical research scientist. I'm a 20-year veteran of biomedical research science, and I've been doing research since 2015 on public health. I've got three books. The latest was a book on autism, the environmental and genetic causes of autism. That I cited 2,000 research studies for. I actually wrote a book called Cures versus Profits with 16 different biomedical research topics. And I've been more recently been doing research on issues relevant to public health, such as the COVID-19 outbreak. I have a publication on how the viral proteins can cause autoimmunity. If you put them in a vaccine, people can become primed to having worse outcomes if they get the infection after a COVID-19 vaccine, unless they take certain steps in the construction of the vaccines, which they haven't done. I've looked at the dose accumulation of aluminum in the pediatric schedule. We've got two papers, a third paper of a review on the toxicity of aluminum in the pediatric vaccination schedule under CDC. And we've calculated now, or update is, it's about to be published. In the first 7 months of life, children are 100% of their days, children are in aluminum toxicity if they do the CDC schedule. So yeah. We outline steps to avoid that kind of toxicity. The effects on brain development, the effects on immune development are profound. And we're taking no prisoners here. This COVID-19 thing of late, I've been all over it. I mean, I have a podcast on Breaking Science. It's on YouTube. It's on Twitter and so on.
Well, Right. Let people know where it's at. If you're, you know, you got a podcast, we want to hear straight from James. You know, where would they go? What's the site?
Yeah, Unbreaking Science is the name of the podcast.
Unbreaking Science. Okay.
That's right. Science is broken, and we don't want to say we're going to fix it because that's what the CDC tried to do. They tried to put the fix in.
Yeah.
So it's Unbreaking Science, and in March, I did a show on how the CDC screwed up testing in the United States permanently, the CDC's deadly testing fiasco. I've interviewed people on the differences between the flu rates that are shown on the CDC website and so on, and how they cook the books on that, you know, the mortality rate, the difference between the infection case fatality rate where people are sick and they have a risk of mortality versus, you know, people that are not sick, what's the mortality risk under COVID-19. These people are all over the map. Anthony Fauci has changed his story on just about every single topic. We were early proponents of hydroxychloroquine, very early in March, listing hydroxychloroquine among the different things that should be done. And, yeah, we've just been all over this topic after topic after topic. And so what I notice is that when I travel like you do from state to state, I get invited to state capitals to testify on different committees, to make public comment, to lead discussions, you know, in the public square. I find that there are people that are in the public making their best argument from the best perspectives that they know how, their talking points. But I also find that there's sometimes people don't get some of the fundamentals right on biology and science. And so I took it upon myself this summer to create a brand new institute called IPAC-EDU. It is
now, wait a minute. Go ahead and
college.
Give it IPAC. Yeah. You're giving an acronym. What does it stand for?
Oh, yeah. IPAC is the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. That's where we do our research out of. We do peer-reviewed public research. We just finished a vax versus unvax study of 3,500-something patients in a pediatric practice in Oregon. That's under peer review right now.
Well, what was the bottom line? You had, you know, like it's like Amish, you know, like they're not getting vaccinated or something. We have a test group right there. But you have vaccinated, unvaccinated, Oregon. What was the result? You know, give us the skinny
the
before it's published.
The bottom line is that the more vaccinated a person is, the more likely they are to have to go back to the doctor again and again and again for chronic illness.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. This corrects for age. We corrected for the, you know, we have a higher risk of going back for asthma, allergies, allergic rhinitis, sinusitis, eczema, a condition called urticaria, you know, these autoimmune conditions, the airway, autoimmune conditions of the skin. These are serious conditions for some people, and kids are going back to the doctor over and over and over again if they have a lot of vaccines. The kids that don't get any vaccines, they don't go to the doctor for these. I mean, and this is correcting for whether they show up at the doctors for the well child visits as well. So
yeah, well child visit. Wait. That name. You know, we're going to go in the break here in a little bit, but I want to know. That's like a psyop right there to call it a well child visit, you know,
we should rename them. We should call them well, comma, doctor visits and educate the doctors about what they're doing. But, you know, for the most part, you know, Dr. Paul Thomas out in Oregon has been under fire by the ethics board. He was under fire by the ethics board, and I wrote a 20-page essay called In Defense of an Ethical Physician. And I outlined for the ethics board, who are made up of pediatricians, how Dr. Paul Thomas is actually respecting informed consent. He's following the book and the letter of the law of the federal regulations.
Okay, we're going into break, and I want to pick up right there. Right there. When we come back, you know, your presentation to a board of ethics for a doctor that you're trying to, you know, explain it to them. And, you know, this is common everywhere. You know, and we want to see how that process goes and what you can do to help. And there are other doctors, I am certain, that are like, you know, I do the right thing, but then I'd be a bit.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, don't call the number. I don't answer anyway. We don't have that anymore. I got to change that. Ugh. All right. James Lyons-Weiler. Now, we left off. We were talking about Dr. Paul Thomas in Oregon that because he's playing doctor, I mean, he's doing, you know, the doctor-patient relationship, and they don't want it to be like that. Oh, hell no. They got to get the man in between that and said, no, you're our doctor, and they're kind of our patient, you know. You need to do it the way we tell you. And he goes, nah, I think I'll decline. So now he gets in trouble with the board there. Well, James Lyons-Weiler, he goes, hey, man, you want some professional opinion on professional opinion of, you know, this professional? Let me give you my opinion. So he puts that in there, and what happens? You know, go through the process and tell me about Dr. Thomas.
Yeah, what happened was I invited the board to compare their own personal practices that they run and compare their practices in terms of vaccine choice and respect for informed consent with the federal regulations. And I also then told them that Paul is absolutely doing it by the book. He's following federal regulations on informed consent for vaccination. And as a result, he's vaccinating some but not all of his patients. And some vaccines, some patients take some vaccines and some patients don't take others. And that's the hallmark. That tells us that he's doing it ethically. And that I invited them to go back to their own records and their own practices and evaluate what they're doing with respect to the federal regulation. And then having done that, I reminded them that should the ethics board strip Paul Thomas of his license, that that's just going to free him up to be another free American that's going to go out there and tell it like it is at full time. And we will make a hero out of him. You're going to make a martyr out of him, and he'll become, you know, a leader in the vaccine risk aware movement. And I sent the letter to his lawyer. The lawyer sent it to the chair of the ethics board. The next day, the ethics board dropped the inquiry on Paul Thomas.
Yeah, they did. Why? Why do you think they were going to get out of their
Because they got my letter.
Well, I know, but I mean, what in the letter? You know, is it that we're going to compare your practice with his? You guys want to compare? Let's do some compare. And they're like, nah, we don't want to do compare. That'd be a bad idea.
Because they can see the writing on the wall, because if this blew up into a...
Everybody sees the writing on the wall. It's whether it's going to be have their name at the bottom of it. So, you know, the fact that you put their name and you go, you know what you should do? We got an ethics board here that's saying whether he violated ethics. I say that he is in compliance with the federal law, and maybe you're not. And let's compare, you know, his patient pool to yours, and then they go, whoa, well, you know, I think we're done here.
Yep, let's just pack up and go home. No harm, no foul. See you guys later. So, you know, these are hallmarks of totalitarian regimes, and we were talking offline a little bit before this about whether it's Marxism or whatever and the left, and that exists, but that's only because there's money. The liberal left has never had easy corporate money, and now the pharmaceuticals represents easy corporate money for them.
But it's also the other money. Let's talk about this real quick. I want to prep this. There is enormous amounts of money coming from corporations into the opposition of we don't like Trump. Okay, and yep. I'm going. And is it? There's a meme that has Trump sitting there, and he goes, "They're not after me. They're after you. I'm just in the way." So yeah. I kind of see, I mean, I'm not like a big Trump fan. It's just a funny and interesting to watch this dynamic play out. And when you see, you know, like, I don't want to name off a lot of corporations, you know, Amazon or, you know, Home Depot or Lowe's, whatever, these large corporations are funding Black Lives Matter and all these other different left organizations, which by, couple degrees of separation, you have these doctors are influenced by this, and I'm wondering why. What it's not just pharmaceuticals, it's other corporations. Do they share board of directors or something?
Well, don't worry about where the doctors get their money. They get their money based on whatever is going to be compensated by insurance and whatever they can bill for. That's straight up. That can be straight up capitalism. The problem is that we have these learned intermediaries between the consumers. That is, doctors should not act as intermediaries between corporate products and the options for medicine and the end consumer or the people that have to take the medicine. But they do. And this cultural aspect of how medicine is run embodies the conflicts of interest. It injects a conflict of interest in everything that the doctor does. And so it's not a cheap shot. It's just the truth. The doctors make more money if they bill for things that are more expensive. And I have that's what Cures versus Profits is all about. That's what the book is all about. Now, right now, I'm writing an article called Hallmarks of Totalitarian Regimes, looking at what's going on, both with vaccines and with this COVID malarkey. And I just want to run through them quickly. The points are, if you want to know how to tell a totalitarian regime from a non-totalitarian regime, fascist regimes bundle together government and corporation interests. Yeah. That's a problem. They should be separate. And it doesn't matter where on the political spectrum you are. So fascism can arise by historical definition of fascism from the left, from the right, from the middle. It doesn't matter.
No, that's what got me started in the beginning. I tell you, James, it was in junior high in the late 70s, 7th, 8th grade, and they described it. And I remember this one definition. You mix business and government to the point you can't tell the difference between the two. That is fascism.
Exactly.
And I'm going, what the hell you think we got? So that was my original question, is that we have all these corporations that are taking on, and they can't mask up enough, and we're going to make, and we're going to comply, and we'll be open, but Ma and Pa restaurant, Ma and Pa little tchotchke store of Ma and Pa, you know, is, and they're done. And it seems like it's intentional, because their opposition to control is coming from the entrepreneurs, the small business owners. They needed to crush them out of existence, so you're going to Walmart, and they'll comply. So I'm
absolutely.
But then it's married in with the pharmaceutical companies and the diet. It seems like it's all one big giant effort.
Yeah, it is. And so what we're doing at IPAC and IPAC EDU is we go down to the fundamentals and the roots of the problem. And I've analyzed both the COVID-19 issue and the vaccines issue to the point where it's all right. You can tell it's a totalitarian regime if people have to know that these things can arise through legal means. Hitler did it. He tried to do it illegally first. He turned around and said, wait a minute, I don't like being in jail. I'm going to go and I'm going to actually change Parliament. I'm going to join Parliament. I'm going to be part of this.
I'm going to burn it down.
Do it through legal means, right? Burn it down. Exactly. Well, almost all legal means. They definitely feel very little regard for the law. But they also use intimidations to silence the opposition, and we see that in spades. We see that through censorship. We see that through shutting down channels on YouTube. We see that in the fact that you can't get your word out.
We see it for them on the streets at a restaurant. Raise your right fist and solidarity, Black Lives Matter. You can't, no justice, no peace, and you're not allowed to drink coffee or have your meal on the sidewalk if we rule you.
And we see it with the online thugs that intimidate people who dare speak a negative word about vaccines.
Yeah, they're robots.
24/7. Yeah.
So we're going into break. You know, we got plenty, to talk about. We're doing, this is how it's done. And, you know, one thing that was a scary, I put it up over the weekend. It was, Paul Johnson, Watson, whatever, Paul Joseph Watson on InfoWars. He did a piece on, being radical. And it was this exact techniques were being used in Mao China.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And James Lyons-Weiler, we're back. Oh, no. Now, he's got a class that he's doing. Kyle, you need to know all kinds of stuff. You know, the science of it, even some psychology of it. You know, how to present. You know, Toastmaster speaker kind of stuff, whatever. IPA-EDU.org. IPA-EDU.org. And it's an institute for applied. What does IPA stand for?
What does what stand for? IPA? The Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge.
But this
is a separate company, and we're going to be teaching the fundamentals of courses on biology, courses on law with instructors who are very well known. Courses in psychology, including the basic psychology and the psychology of decision making, how the human mind makes a decision, what influences it. And we're going to have courses on analytics, where you can learn how to get under the data, how to use a spreadsheet, how to download the government's data and analyze it for yourself. This is going to be a fantastic compendium of courses, and you're going to get a certificate. They're college level courses, and what we're going to do is set up this. We have set up the syllabus for each course, so that you can take that those credits to your college and make the argument that they should transfer in. I can't guarantee that they will. But that
doesn't matter.
The same material.
College freaking credit don't mean squat anymore anyway.
Well, I mean, some people might want to get that.
Blah, blah, blah. You get knowledge.
They might want that bumper sticker, Ernest, on the back of their car that they, whatever. But,
Yeah. Okay. What's your slogans? Give me some slogans. Give me some bumper sticker. Give me some signs to make, man. What's your slogans?
So the slogan for IPAC-EDU is freedom through knowledge. People are going to learn how to empower themselves through knowledge so they can better participate in the public square. When they're making their arguments, they're going to know that what they're saying is founded on.
You know, that's one thing you and I both have witnessed is that when people, they want to say, they want to share, they just know it's wrong, and then you get asked, and you have to be able to go at least three deep. I got to explain this. When you talk to someone, or I'm debating anyone on anything, and it's live television or whatever, and candidate forums and all that kind of stuff, you know, it's like in high school wrestling. If you got a move, there's a counter to that move, and there's a counter to that move, and there's a counter to that counter. And, you know, if you can go three deep, and you go, they got their little 3x5 card, herd immunity. Well, you know, herd immunity, they think the vaccine's going to do it. Well, you know, it's better without the yada, yada. And then they go, yeah, but, and then you got an answer, and they go, yeah, but, and you got an answer. You go three deep, and then they start to, their heads explode. They figure they're up against a Jedi master of, oh, my God, he's got an answer for everything, and it's freedom, damn it. You know, but my thing is, if people can go through the concept of mandates, it doesn't matter. You want to do it, don't do it. You want to do your duty. You just need a shiny badge to tell you got to do it, or lab coat says to do it, and you just do it, and you don't have to think about it. Fine, peace be upon thee, and you go over there, and I'm not going to prevent you from doing whatever the hell you want with your body. But the mandate to make me and my children and grandchildren, the mandate, I don't need a degree in freaking nothing. It's my body, my choice, you know, so that, you know, I like that slogan, like that just pisses off the left, you know, but but having this information is good. And we're going on about, you know, whatever ism, Marxism, this ism, that ism, collectivism,
right.
Fascism. My thing is that it's force. It's just, you know, it's a, you know, I want to be a leave me aloneist. I'm leave me aloneism. That's my thing. And that was the point of the Declaration of Independence. The purpose of government, defense of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter or abolish. It's your right, your duty. Boom. Done. The only purpose of government, defense of individual rights. And we're tap dancing around that issue. Well, if we got a really good no, God, man, the whole freaking point was for you to protect me from being locked down and having my business closed and what I can't do with my property and, oh, my goodness, my body. That is the whole freaking point. So I'm going, all right.
Yeah,
so
you raised some good points there. You know, the totalitarian regimes tend to disregard facts that are contrary to their own agenda, and they also, once they're in power, they suspend individual rights. And
every time,
every time, in the interest of safety, in the interest of security, and Benjamin Franklin said it best. You know, they turn around and they deny their own fascism. So they have to gaslight entire population.
Well, list for us the hallmarks of totalitarian regimes before we run out of time in the segment. Go ahead and kind of, you know, what are the issues
so
you want to do?
Where we left off was that they use intimidation to silence the opposition, and then, like I was saying, they disregard facts that are contrary to their agenda. So they cannot exist in the face of reality, and that's my defense. What I'm really good at is bringing out the facts, bringing out reality, stripping off the veneer. You're going to pull some crap on me, I'm going to call it crap right in public, and I'm not going to be polite about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, once they're in power, they suspend those individual rights. And, you know, so from intimidation to denying the facts to suspending the individual rights, and you mentioned it earlier, another hallmark is they criminalize the success of others. You can't have small businesses if you're going to own the world like Walmart, same thing. Same exact mentality.
Yeah, we got a monopoly of permits, and you don't. And where's your compliance officer of your team of attorneys of a compliance position of compliance? You know,
right,
I already see where this goes. We've done it on every level of
you're right. And then they attack religion, and they want to make the state the supreme authority. Whether religion is good for you or bad for you doesn't matter. The point is they don't want any competition. The state has the final say on
everything.
Yeah,
they don't even want the family. The family. It takes a village to inject your kid. I mean, you know, it's
exactly.
This is how much further you think you think it's starting? The tipping point started. Have we got the beginning of the end? What's going on here?
From what I can see, from the way that the information about COVID-19 was spawned, the disinformation, they are full on. They're running on all cylinders. They think that this is their pathway to success and power. We haven't even talked about globalism. That's not the point. They want to take over every government. Whether you call that globalism, it doesn't matter. Individual rights can't succeed, can't exist in their future. The final hallmark, Ernie, is that they turn the human body one way or the other into commodity. Whether it's slavery, whether it's using vaccines, you know, I've heard the argument.
Yeah, with a biometric bank account and digital purple money.
I've heard a beautiful, beautiful argument by a woman from New Brunswick, in Canada, that forced vaccination is slavery. You're turning a person's body into a commodity used by corporations and medical community for profit.
Well, what do you think? So, are they going to get their force? I mean, you know, this has been building up to this forever. I mean, we had to do waivers back in the 90s for our kids. And, you know, this it was a big thing for libertarians to just let people know that you could just sign a waiver. And, a waiver? There's a waiver? You know, and they sure as hell don't want you to know that. And then a lot of times the schools, they didn't even know. So it's,
exactly.
You know, but they built it up, get the groundwork. Everybody does it. Everybody doing it. And you're killing grandma. And are we kind of peaked out on that? Is there peak tyranny yet?
Obedience? Let me tell you this. And what your listeners should know is to take heart, because the final hallmark that I've identified of totalitarian regimes, they all eventually fail.
Yep.
They cannot sustain under their own weight of their own oppression. They never, ever, ever can sustain their own weight.
Yeah, but they still leave this kind of infrastructure and shiny badge department of something. And there's an article called Authoritarian Sociopathy, a good friend wrote, Dobby Barker. And it really comes down, the bottom line is this. The only time authoritarians ever do what their promises, their constitutional oath and all that kind of stuff, is when everybody, even them, know they're illegitimate. That's the only time they try to be legitimate, when everybody knows they're illegitimate. But they don't eliminate the position. They just try and do it better or nicer. They pull back. Ooh, they're stop hitting me with a hammer. No, they're just raising it. They're going to bam. They'll come back and get you. Got to eliminate the hammer, man.
Well, they try to control the minds and the hearts. And when in their fight for the minds and the hearts, why they always fail is because they forget that the human mind, human consciousness, human spirit is a generative process. It's new. There's a new thought in everyone's head every day.
Until they give you a vaccine to make it go away. They got to change us because humanity's kicking out. We're going in the break. You know, humanity is freedom's the answer. What's a freaking question in our DNA? So they got to change the DNA. No, they wouldn't do that.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
But there's guys like James Lyons-Wilder going to explain it to us. Now, they have, you know, we've got to pip this out, ipa-edu.org, ipa-edu.org. This is what gives you the skills to be able to argue or present or defend your position. And I tell you, mine's real simple. It's my body, my choice, my life, my kid. They're not yours. You know, it's a property right thing. Either I own me or I don't. And then they're going to try and make it to where, you know, yeah, but you're not allowed to go to the movies. Are you? That's another thing. You know, there's a whole bunch of good movies. I got 007, James Bond. I got Mission Impossible. I got, you know, Tom Cruise of whatever the hell. I got some Marvel, yada, yada, yada. All these big blockbusters just sitting there waiting. And I went and paid $20 to watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure because Keanu Reeves just said, screw you, we're going straight to the people and bite me in the system. I go, hell yeah. I'll even let Amazon have some money. Get this, the support of bite me. This whole theater system suck it. And it was a positive movie. It's the world, and we're all peace and excellent, and be excellent to each other, and party on, dude. And it was a good movie. I watched the other two like years ago, 20-something years ago. And then now this comes, and it was just a big middle finger to the system. And I'm going, yes, I will support that. You know, because I don't care. I mean, it was that great a movie. It was. It was pretty good. You know, so that is what they're trying to do. Are you going to wear a mask to go watch a movie, James?
No, I'd probably just rent, wait till it comes out, or you know, whatever. I'll watch it at home. But the point is, listen, I back ADHD. People, if they're going to tell you ADHD is genetic, if they're going to tell you autism is genetic, if they're going to tell you that every little thing that ever happened to you after you got a vaccine was due to the coronavirus that you thought that you didn't get, but you really got, but you didn't know, and nobody knows but them that you got it. Because this virus can tell that it's like, I got to infect you because you're going to, you know, you just got a vaccine and you're going to have these weird symptoms from the vaccine. And that, no, it was coronavirus. If you want to know to be able to disassemble those arguments, you get on the IPAC.edu and sign up for these courses, because we're going to teach you the fundamentals of logic, reason. We're going to teach you biology all the way up through genetics. You want to learn? You want to know what's going on with global warming and the ecosystem science? We're going to get into that with environmental biology, environmental toxicology. We're going to teach it as if you are an intelligent human being, capable of understanding the world around you.
You know, this is so, part of curriculum that, you know, we have six more of our 12 grandchildren are now homeschooling this year. We're done. We're just not going, because they knew what was coming. You know, you got teachers online there wearing their Black Lives Matter shirt, and we had this one guy, Teens for Trump. He's a 15-year-old son of a prominent, you know, economist kind of guy, and he said, "Hey, man, you need to have my son on." Had him on. He's doing Teens for Trump, you know, and is he a big Trump guy? I mean, he's an anarchist, but he's out there doing, and he's talking about while they're doing online math class, they're starting, all right, we're going to talk, and she's going on about how she admires, you know, ex-President Obama and Michelle, Barry and Michelle, and all these other BLM activists. He goes into kind of go, whoa, this is math class. What the hell are you? Yeah, as a dude, shut up, boy, and you're excommunicated from. And kind of, you know, and I'm going, wow, even the online stuff. And then parents sit there and watch this. They start complaining. They take screenshots of them, put it up, and then they start getting hassled. But these teachers and all the shiny badges and the people in positions of authority, they thought they could get away with this because they had sanction. And they could do it. And they didn't think that when the parents started actually seeing what they're doing to their children, yeah, there comes the wave. And I'm thinking, they need to have curriculum. This is the point I wanted to make. They need to have curriculum like yours to add to their 15-year-old, would they get a high school student get something out of your classes?
Oh, high school student definitely will. If they sign up for AP, if they need a course in AP biology, that's it. If they need a course in AP history, we're going to have that. I mean, they're going to be able to pass those exams, and the credit should apply. But the point is, look at it. We're going to have courses on constitutional law, on vaccine law. We're going to have courses on the history of law in the West and in the United States as a prerequisite for any law course you take at IPAC.edu. We know which courses are going to shore up the public's ability to hold their own in the public square, in the court of public opinion, and in the court. If they ever have to go to court themselves, they're going to know what's going on. They're going to know their rights. They're going to know the foundation of their rights. Why do you have the right to property in the United States, but you don't in China? What's the difference? Okay. So
we got rights to property in the United States.
for the time being until you die.
Oh, man, if it pleases the crown, can I occupy my own land? I can put a tent up on in front of City Hall, and they'll clean off my crap for me. But if I take the same tent and put it on my own land without a permit, I'm going to jail. You know, don't tell me we got property rights.
If it pleases the crown.
If it pleases the crown, can I occupy my own land? You know, I just want them to say it. Say it. You know, so we're.
Stand up for yourself and learn how to stand up for yourself. We have lawyers who are going to be teaching these law courses, not me. We have lawyers who are very skilled and eloquent in the foundational basis of why, yes, you do have rights to property in the United States.
Well, now, on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix right now, I have a show with a gentleman that we went over this less than a year ago. I put it up there because this kept coming up, and I go listen to that show about how to get your land off of their rolls or whatever. But so that'd be of interest. Well, James, I wanted to, you know, it's IPA, not IPAK, right? It's just IPA-EDU.org.
Yeah, right? IPAC-EDU.org. And listen,
here's the twist. So I need to get, I got to make sure I got this right. Because IPAK or no K?
Yeah, K.
Okay, I've been saying it wrong. All right, okay, wait, let's get that right. IPAC, IPAK. -edu.org. Okay, sorry, guys. All right, Donna, you got it right?
No, that's it.
Yeah, Donna's got it right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, I've been saying it wrong, man. IPAK.
Well, thank you for the clarification.
Edu.org.
I'll send you guys an ad you can throw up.
Boom!
I'll send you guys an ad you can throw
Banner
up.
Banner ad, waiting on you now.
All right. So let's close out here, right? We got about 6 minutes or so. Let's close out here.
About two.
On your tour. Where are you going? Where are you now? Where are you going? Where are you going to go next?
Our big thing was to hit all four corners. We in Bangor, Maine, and then we're going across the northern United States. We'll be in a few weeks. We'll be all the way to the Pacific Northwest and Washington. You know, Seattle, Portland. Idaho, Montana, that kind of thing. So we're up in the Northwest. As it starts to get colder, we start moving more south. And then we come back across, you know, like St. Louis and go to the Carolinas and so on. And then by holidays, Thanksgiving, we're going to spend 6 weeks in Arizona because Arizona needs some love and we got family and holidays. And then we'll go across in the winter months across the southern United States and make it to Key West. So we're just hitting the whole United States. We're just going back and forth and back and forth. And it's just our whole goal is the same as we did in the 08 Levolution, support of Dr. Paul. We knew that if you bypass all the lamestream media, the media so last century, that you go straight to the people and help them and show them how they can express themselves and the impact it has. They can defend against their local tyranny. Because a lot of this is just, they infiltrated, you know, the little town municipal corporation of the League of Cities and Towns of you got to be on the sewer system of you get the federal grant for multi-housing, blah, 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 blah. If you get your people under control and they get fluoridated. So I'm just going, look, man, this is a local thing, by county thing. So we're doing that. That is what, because then we see that Facebook and so on, they also do kind of regional echo chambers that you'll get it breaking out. Woo, look at all these signs that we're in. It never makes it out of Michigan or Maine or New Hampshire or Vermont or Massachusetts. And the thing is, you got to go seed all over the country and it just be a thing. I already know how this works. They got bullseye for their Hellfire missile on my bus or something. Because here it comes. That's it.
Well, it's a fantastic thing you're doing to get out there, get the people out on the street and give them your energy. You're very rare do you find somebody who's got the energy that you have, Ernest. I mean, you're a true freedom-loving American and you build solutions. That's what I love about
which is why you're on. You know, we got James Linesweiler, and it's IPAC, IPAK-EDU.org. You want to get? Oh yeah, you might get credit in a college guy, or you might. I don't care. Okay, that you have the knowledge. What if your kids understood what's really going on and how to defend themselves? You know, and one, I'm like, I don't even defend my, I say, you know, I defend my property, my body, my land, my, you know, give my blood, and the whole purpose of government is to defend that right. You know, how about that? You know, well, there's a lot of other people need more information. James Linesweiler.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines.
And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a beard here and declare your independence from here in Stancock, here in western Pennsylvania, off I-80 in the KOA campground or something. And we're on our way back east. We're going to go get some. Now, we're talking to Stephen Lenman. Now, Stephen Lenman's been writing for us since, like, forever. You know, it's been, 12 years or something or more. And but he always has, like, 4 articles. He goes through the news. He summarizes on whatever issue is, and he gives his opinion of, you know, his opinion. It's his opinion. As long as people are sincere, their opinion, that's their opinion. He can go up. That doesn't mean you have to agree with it. I always got to do that. Everybody's saying, well, this Stephen Lenman, he's so left in another department of government needs to fix. It's kind of something. What I go, you got an opinion, and you write a letter to the editor, or you got an opinion about an opinion. Now, Belarus, he's been covering that. And it's got an in-the-street kind of thing going on there. And what happened is a gentleman that lives there, listens to the show in Belarus, he goes, he's not right about that. I go, well, send me some stuff. So he sent me a little paragraph of his perspective and a video to watch. And it just seemed like I was talking to guys in the streets now if they don't like the president. I have no idea what's going on. So I said, you know what? Stephen won't lie to me. You know, Stephen, tell me what his perspective is, whether you agree with it or not. But he's going to tell us what's up. So, Stephen, first, Belarus, they're in the streets. They're this guy versus that guy. He got a 6th term of young people don't like him, don't want him. What the hell is going on? Tell me everything.
Well, first of all, Ernie, let me just say thank you to you and the Freedom Phoenix. I have been with you almost from day one. Not quite day one, because nobody knew about me on day one. I was just introducing myself to myself at that time. But I've been doing this for over 15 years now, and literally we've been together almost from the very beginning. So it's really remarkable. The only thing I regret is that I'm 15 years older. I'd rather be 15 years younger, but, you know, can't do anything about that. Belarus. On the one hand, my maternal roots are from Belarus, and Lithuania, but it has nothing whatsoever to do with my views. What's going on is there is a U.S. attempted color revolution / coup d'etat because Belarus has ties to Russia, and the U.S. wants to detach all countries with ties to Russia and make them U.S. vassals.
Another Ukraine thing.
It's similar to the Ukraine thing. So far, it hasn't resembled what went on in the Kiev Maidan, where there were snipers shooting people and killing people.
Yeah.
That hasn't happened.
There's
been a little violence, and there was violence by Belarusian security forces at the beginning, maybe a little bit now, but overall, except for the beginning, this thing has been going on for about a month. Except for the beginning, security forces have been largely restrained. What about this guy, Lukashenko? He's not a very savory character, but he's supported by most Belarusians. If the country is going to be democratic, the majority rule should rule the day. He was reelected. He unnecessarily, I've said this in my articles, he unnecessarily inflated the margin to 80%. A legitimate margin of victory was something like around 62%. And this woman, I can only pronounce her name when I have it in front of me, which I do not, Svetlana, her first name, she got, officially, they gave her 10%. She got 25%. So it was 62% to 25%. But she's a nobody. She was plucked out of obscurity. She's a housewife. Her husband was jailed. I don't go along with that at all. Lukashenko does a lot of stuff I absolutely frown on and disagree with and I'm upset about. But he was elected by a majority vote, a very decisive one. And when I wrote about his margin, just under 62%, I said his margin of victory was greater than the margin of victory for any U.S. president in the nation's history since James Monroe in 1820.
Well, I mean, do you trust the result? I mean, you know, I don't trust elections to begin with, you know, but he has popular support from the people, I guess, enough. But there's a lot of people in the streets against him. What's their reason? Who are they funded by? Because when we saw Ukraine, Georgia, Ukraine, Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, I mean, it's all this U.S. stuff that we're doing color revolution and stuff, and it came home. So now we're dealing, when this whole thing first started, I'm going, yeah, we're going to get a dose of our own medicine here, how we're doing this, and why are they doing it in Belarus? You know, we're the United States government is supporting these guys that are going, no, this guy's bad and we need to oppose. And so I'm going, yep, the same thing was going on in the Ukraine. The young people, they wanted to be, you know, we'll do anything and say and do whatever to be part of the European Union or go with the U.S. We want to go west, young man. And I can see, yeah, you're just changing rulers, man. You know, somebody's going to rule. Where's the freedom in this? So this group that's being funded and supported by, you're saying it's the U.S. government that is supporting the opposition to this elected individual in Belarus.
The U.S. government has staged a coup d'etat attempt to oust Lukashenko. That is what's going on, Ernie. I oppose this wherever it happens, even against a bad government. Lukashenko was not good. Russia has a very hard time getting along with him. But there are a lot of Russian people, or Russian-speaking people in Belarus. What's going on has brought Russia and Belarus more closely together. But they have been closely together in terms of the people of both countries. The outcome that I would like to see is something similar to Crimea, where there was a referendum held, and well over 90% of Crimeans voted to rejoin Russia. They wanted a historic mistake corrected, and Putin accommodated them. There was no annexation of Crimea. Putin accommodated the vast majority view of the people of Crimea. I would like to see a referendum independently monitored in Belarus. Let the people of Belarus decide democratically what they want. Do they want to get rid of Lukashenko? Do they want to join Russia? What do they want? What democracy is all about, Ernie, as we know, is the rule of the people. What the majority of the people want is what everybody should support if you support equity and justice and democratic rights. I would love to see that, and maybe, just maybe, something like that could happen again. I'd like to see Belarus become part of Russia again. It never should have been detached, and now there's a chance to bring it back into the fold. And because they have nationals of the same culture, the same backgrounds in both countries, it simply is natural for both countries to join together. And Belarus is small, only about 9 million people, so maybe it's about the size of New York City population-wise. But if 25% of the people supported Svetlana, that's a few million people, you could get a lot of people out in the streets mobilized against Lukashenko, and that's exactly what's happened. What's going on also, Ernie, this did not happen spontaneously after the August 9th election, a month from tomorrow. This was planned well in advance, just the way all U.S. wars are planned, many months in advance. This was planned many months in advance because the election was coming up, and this was a chance to go after getting another vassal state. And that's how all this thing erupted. If the U.S. didn't have its dirty hands on this, nothing would have happened to the street. There might have been some minor stuff
going on.
Yeah,
but there's the domino effect, man. We're going to have dominoes of everybody going to align with Russia. And you say, I want them to go align with Russia. Who wants to align with Russia? See, I don't even care. My thing is that why do I care who aligns with what? I'm down to the individual. What does the individual want? Can an individual be free? So this is, everybody's always arguing about, you know, governments and who's going to rule me and who's going to rule them and who rules. And nobody's there to say, you rule yourself. You know, they're going, hey, you rule yourself right up until we put our guy in charge of you and you got to stop. You know, I
agree with you. All right,
we're going into break. We'll be right back. Stephen Levin's going to respond to my rant just a little bit.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Well, Stephen Lemon, a prolific writer at his advanced age of, how old are you, Stephen?
I'm 86, Ernie.
86. 86 years old, and he's still going at it. Now, we have, you know, we just got news, hashtag reopen AZ, which is Arizona. Hashtag reopen AZ, it's a rockin' and rollin' whatnot. I got, you know, a email from Rick here in Michigan. He's going, you know what you need to do? Redding, California was selected to participate in both the Moderna mRNA 1273 and the Pfizer BioNTech forthcoming phase blah, blah, blah clinical trials. You might have a contact for me. You know, they're going hard plow on this forced vaccination of you got it and we're going to make you and so on. And later years, COVID might be a thing for you. You got a compromised immune system, but I don't know, you four forcing me and my grandkids to take a vaccine for you. Stephen, what's your opinion?
Oh, absolutely not. No one will force me to take a vaccine. I will not take it.
Can you put your mouth up closer to the microphone? You're really low.
Oh, okay. How's that? Is that better?
Better, thank you.
No, I will not take a vaccine. I know they're toxic. The COVID vaccines, the development is being very rushed. Normally, vaccines take 4 or 5 years to develop. Most trials fail. A small percentage succeed. And even the ones that succeed have problems associated with them. I've written a great deal about this. I'm not a vaccine expert, but I've quoted vaccine experts. I know the world's leading, at least one of the world's leading vaccines experts, Vera Schreibner. When I had my radio program, I had her on twice. She's from Australia, so she had to come on in the middle of the night, which she did. She absolutely, unequivocally says, stay away from vaccines. But a vaccine that's been developed in a short period of time, 6 months or so, there is no possibility in the world that it is safe to use. Anybody taking these vaccines will be playing Russian roulette with their health. If that's what somebody wants to do, I have no argument with it. It's their choice. It's an individual choice. Nobody in government or any place else should force anybody to do what they don't want to do, especially when it relates to their health journey. We agree on that.
Well, you know, the one thing that you're saying is that in Belarus or these other countries, you know, majority rules, I guess, you know, the select, I don't know what kind of government they have there. Of course, they're going to say it's democratic or whatever. But, you know, to have government rules that are, or a vote that says this guy rules. And you're going, well, if they want to go with Russia, they need to have a vote for that, too, and a vote. And the minority rights, I'm, you know, for the minority just wants to be left alone. Fortunately, in America, we've got that constitution of thou shalt not, you know, deny me my individual rights. So I'm glad that we're having this discussion all over the world and that they're starting to understand the difference. Just saying democracy doesn't mean anything. And, you know, so I just wonder, you get to have, you know, this ruler now. Oh, I don't like Orange Man. Orange Man bad. And I'm going, well, I don't care what color they are or what man or woman it is. I vote leave me aloneism. So your philosophy is what? What drives your interest in one country and the people rising up against, you know, for or against? What is your criteria for you to write stories?
Well, I got very interested in Ukraine, and I'm very interested in Belarus now. I had a book on Ukraine, and my interest in both countries was the fact that the U.S. wanted to topple the sitting government, whether it's good, bad, or in between. No country can legally meddle in the internal affairs of another country except in self-defense if it's attacked. Well, Ukraine and Belarus did not attack the U.S., so interfering in their internal affairs it is a breach of international law, which makes it a breach of U.S. constitutional law, and that's what got me interested, and that's why I've been writing a lot about Belarus. I'll write more as there are new developments, Ernie.
Well, what's their concern? Why don't they like, what's his name, Poroshenko or something, whatever. I don't even want to know. I'm proud that I don't know. I don't want to know. But you have a leader in Belarus that just had a recent election, like early August or something, and he wins a sixth term. And the people are in the streets. I feel this coming for Trump. You know, even if he had an overwhelming support in the election, they're going to be complaining. What are they complaining about in Belarus?
Well, there is going to be mayhem, I fear, after the U.S. election, Ernie. I think I was amazed that Trump defeated Hillary in 2016. And my feeling was, I have no evidence, it's just a feeling that I had, was that there were more people in the U.S. who supported Trump and who supported Trump because they disliked Hillary. So he won and she lost. I think it's exactly the opposite for November. I think the system is being rigged to assure that Trump loses. I may be wrong, but it certainly looks that way. The media is like it was in 2016, 95% against him. Biden can do no wrong. I despise Biden, but nearly a half century in government, I've written articles about him exposing his dirty record. And the guy isn't just old. He acts old. I don't believe he has dementia. It doesn't sound to me like he has dementia. And I've quoted psychologists who don't assess him that way, which is hard to do unless you sit down with an individual and spend time with them, maybe give them cognitive tests or whatever. But the ones that I've quoted do not think he has dementia. And from my observation, which is non-professional, I don't think he does either. But he's very slow. His language gets mixed up or gobbled at times. He doesn't sound like a guy who really is on top of all the issues and can handle things properly. So if he becomes president, he won't be running anything. The people around him will be running everything. So the undemocratic Dems will be running things. There'll be more wars than there are now. Trump, to his credit, Trump did not start a new war. But to his discredit, he's waging war by other means, the expression I like to use, against Venezuela, against Iran. He's been one-sided for Israel more than any of his predecessors, throwing Palestinians under the bus. So these things I find hard and disagree with. But between Trump and Biden, I'm really up in the air on either. I don't want either of them, Bernie.
Yeah, you're still voting?
No, I will not be voting.
No, this is a, and you vote every time you write an article, you know, any time that you participate in the discussion, you know, you're making sure that, you know, you get your opinion out there, but I'm looking at this is an interesting time in America, and you've been around a long time. When were you a voting age? You know what, 50s? I mean, when?
Oh yeah, in the early 1950s.
Well, I mean, so you've seen the progression of control and they them those and the, you know, the Federal Reserve and the monetary system and the foreign, you know, policy and economic policy and blah, 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 blah. The U.S. is, if we're not active kinetic war, we're always trying to take over, do over something. That is a stop. I mean, that's...
Ernie, I really hate myself. I remember Franklin Roosevelt. Nothing wrong, but I remember.
He remembers Franklin Roosevelt. We're going to find out when we come back from the break. You're getting into good stuff. See, I want to get your progression, just your I don't know, this flavor of America and how it's perceived around the world and here and what's coming. And you've been through this kind of McCarthy stuff and communism in every bed and so on.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And we're back with Stephen Ledman. And his phone keeps cutting out. Somebody's trying to end the man. It's the man. It's the man. I got you there, Stephen.
Yeah, you do.
All right, we got you. We're trying to. Yeah, we got a new connection. It sounds a little bit better this time. Maybe we can balance it out. All right. So, what your opinion on forced vaccination? So, I mean, can the majority vote to rule that I have to take it? Is that your democracy guy? Is that?
Oh, no. No. That's an individual choice. I don't care. I don't care if everybody in the country wants a vaccine. I should have a right to say no.
All right. Are you going to take it?
No, absolutely not.
Now, I don't know, man. You're still. We've gone through a couple of bouts of you being in the hospital, and they tell you to stop writing and relax, and you just can't. You're just going no. So you just keep writing, and you. I mean, so tell me about your day. You get up and. And you go through all the newspapers and pull in and write. Tell me how you do this.
Well, every day is very much the same for me, Ernie. And indeed, I look forward to writing more each day. I love a topic I can keep going back to and write a lot about. And that's been the case on Belarus. It's the case on the situation with this guy, Alexei Navalny, who was not Novichok, as claimed by a German military lab, if he was Novichok, a nerve agent, he would have died in minutes, at most maybe an hour or so. He would have died before he ever got on an airplane. But he's very much alive. He's recovering slowly. I don't know what happened to him, but it certainly was not by he wasn't harmed by a nerve agent.
Well, so why is this a big controversy? He was opposition to Putin, and he's just another guy. They just wanted in the news that he tried to take out another guy or something?
Oh, the reason is there's a full court press in the U.S. to undermine the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline from Russia to Germany. It will also supply other European countries with cheap natural gas, 30% cheaper than U.S. LNG, and there's heavy pressure being applied by people in Washington, not just the Trump folks, but by Congress, Dems, as well as Republicans. They want this project undermined so U.S. LNG producers can have a lucrative market in Europe and keep Russia from supplying their gas and competing with U.S. companies. Well, I mean, Germany wants Russian gas. Other European countries want it, and I think that will win the day. But that's what this whole business is all about. So I think there was a scheme to make Navalny ill by from whatever, and we'll probably get to the bottom of it sooner or later, but make him ill, have a German lab gin up accusations that it was Novichok. They could have done better than that. They could have called it something else. That, you know, you could become deathly ill, but you have a chance to recover. There's no way to recover from Novichok. It's the most deadly substance. You get exposed to it, not just ingesting it, but if you're around somebody who has it and they're exhaling a sneeze or something, just like COVID, and this stuff lands on you, you're a goner. But nobody but Navalny was harmed.
Okay, so there it's a PR campaign or something. But I'm going, you know, one of the deals was Trump goes, why are we funded NATO and sure as hell got bases and so on in Germany to defend against Russia while they're funding Russia buying their gas? So my thing is like, well, stop defending them. Let them do whatever the hell they want. I don't care. Why am I spending money on Germany? They're sitting there doing business with Russia. Let them. I don't give a crap, but I don't got to pay to defend them against Russia they're buying gas from. So I, you know, which is it? You know, you think Trump doesn't just want to pull out?
Well, Trump goes along with the sentiment in Washington, you know, support corporate America. I mean, that's his motto, make America first. And so he wants to support U.S. industry. That's what his policy with China is all about. He wants more U.S. exports to China, more U.S. exports to Europe, and so on. I mean, if I was a U.S. president, I would support those things. I would do it in a different way than he does it, but I would want those things. I'd want U.S. business to profit greatly and support U.S. jobs and all the rest of it. So I don't fault him for that. I fault him for being one-sided and doing harm, imposing sanctions on other countries, which are illegal. Only the Security Council may legally impose sanctions on countries, entities, or individuals, not individual countries against anybody else. But the U.S. does that all the time against people who are its adversaries or whatever. So all this stuff is going on. There'll be more sanctions against Russia on this. But Russia has, I'm convinced Russia has nothing to do with making Navalny sick. You always ask the question, Ernie, key bono, what on earth could Russia benefit by making this guy sick? And the answer is nothing. It could only do itself harm by having this guy be sick because it can be blamed for what it didn't have anything to do with, which is exactly what's happening. I think Nord Stream 2 will survive. I think it'll be completed. Europe will get the cheap gas it wants. The U.S. companies will lose out, but they'll still sell their product to Europe.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. I think they're worried that there's going to be alternative. It's going to be battery technology. You know, here comes Tesla with his battery day here a few days of kind of, we don't need, you know, hydrocarbons anymore, or it's going to be greatly reduced, or that because, you know, JamesCorbett.com, you go to watch how big oil conquered the world and why and all that. That documentary, it just shows how influential the energy industry is on all governments. It's kind of like James Caan's Rollerball, where only corporations run the world. We're definitely seeing that effort play out right now. This fascism that's going on, I got to worry about some other country? You know, that's another thing, man. You're always writing about some other country and some foreign pod, some, you know, we got trouble right here in River City, man. You going to be writing about us?
Well, I support peace, equity, justice, the rule of law. You know, all that old-fashioned stuff, Ernie. I hate all these wars that are going on. The U.S. is perpetually at war against invented enemies. The Russian Federation came into existence in December 1991, almost 30 years ago. Never attacked another country. I'm an American. I'm not a Russian, but I want peace. I want peace between the U.S. in other countries, not just Russia, but all other countries. I would like to see the U.S. concentrate on jobs creation, economic development. The U.S. could prosper much more than it ever has before if they get rid of all these wars and just concentrate on domestic economic development. This could be a wonderful place to live.
Hell, they concentrate on leaving people alone to economically develop. I don't need them to do nothing. Just get out of my freaking way. You know, this is what's your view on, you know, without Orange Man Bad or Trump, you know, pets pussies or whatever the hell is going on. His policies and what he's done over the last 4 years. You a fan, better than most, not, you hate him, what?
No, I'm very upset about what he's done, the harm he's done to the people of Venezuela, a democratic country. Jimmy Carter long ago said the Venezuelan electoral process is the most democratic in the entire world, Jimmy Carter. And he's right. It's very democratic. Well, Venezuela does not take orders from the U.S., so regime change was planned, not going very well. This guy Guaido, he's a phony president in waiting with no power, with nothing, but he's a U.S. Proxy for the policy.
Yeah, this was they had in the Venezuela Constitution. I read it, and they really stretched this. Well, this guy could be president in charge because we said we interpreted and got this special judge from the University of something to say that he. I'm like, what? This is, you know, they're really. Why do they care about Venezuela so much to the point that they're stopping Iranian tankers, you know, that are going there? What was that about?
Well, Venezuela is because of its oil. It's got more oil resources than any other country on the planet.
No, I can understand that. I'm just wondering what their rationale was for, you know, stopping a tanker. What?
Yeah, they stopped the wrong tanker there. They stopped four tankers, supposedly heading from Iran to Venezuela. And there's a lawsuit by the UAE, and I think one or two other countries. It's their oil, not Iranian oil.
If we didn't have lemon right about, we wouldn't know about all this stuff anyway, regardless of what the opinion is. But you don't express more of his opinion. Saving Ledman, prolific writer.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Stephen Ledman. Stephen Ledman, you know, he's gotten a lot of awards. Yeah, the Presidente of Mexico Award for being a liberal writer, I guess, or something. What was that about, Stephen? I mean, you've gotten all kinds of awards and people thinking you're writing all kinds of good stuff. Who's stroking your ego?
Oh, just a couple, Ernie. That was in 2011. Yeah, that was a glorious one. That was an award for international journalism. I got invited to Mexico City, December 2011, and I had a chance to speak very briefly on Latin American television, just very brief comments. I spoke I had a woman standing beside me. I recited a line in English, and she translated it into Spanish. And just before I went on, I dashed down on a piece of paper the opening comment I wanted to make that I hadn't thought about when I wrote out my stuff in advance and gave it to her. So I gave her the added comment, and my opening comment was, today this gringo from north of the border is proud to call himself a periodista, journalist in Spanish, and indeed I was. It was a glorious moment. And when I got done, they made me feel like a rock star. There were journalists that crowded around me and asking me questions. A medallion was put over my neck. I mean, I really felt like somebody won an Academy Award.
Yeah, no, we pimped it out, man. Yeah, we were making, oh, you rock star at the time. You know, but the thing is that, you know, I see your stuff on, you know, libertarians. You know, Lou Rockwell publishes your stuff every now and then. Of course, we got everything you ever written, you know, that goes on Freedom's Phoenix. But the and one thing, the since the beginning, you know, we do this for Stephen because Stephen, the only one, he has a Mac, and for some reason it's difficult using Safari for him. You know, I don't know if it is now, if we got it fixed, but for a decade and a half, we have been selecting his graphic. He can't do the graphic when he does his article. So Donna, every morning, she goes in, and we select the graphic. So I just want everybody to know that, you know, the graphic on his article is us.
So, Ernie, my Mac can do graphics. It's just that I am not that computer literate, so I cannot do it easily. And especially at my age now, I just don't have the energy to get fancy.
Yeah, if you're 80 years old and you write for Freedom's Phoenix, we might take care of you, maybe.
I appreciate it.
We do, Stephen. All right, so this is the one thing. I do get a lot of criticism. You know, there was two authors that I get the most criticism. One, Frosty Wooldridge. You know, he never saw a brown person he didn't want to ship off somewhere. He's all about, you know, immigration and border and wall and all that kind of stuff. And but he's sincere in his belief, and it's become more popular now. I mean, now it's like, yeah, what, you know, Frosty says. And I'm just like, yeah, they go, it's a libertarian site. And then the other one is Stephen Lindman. He seems a little lefty, kind of, you know what, but he's sincere. You know, that's you know what my publishing policy is? Somebody that really believes what they're doing and they can write and put two words together and they kind of got an opinion. You know, peace out. You don't like it, don't read it. But Stephen's there all the time. What are the criteria for you to go down the rabbit hole on some issues? What's some that are building up that's coming? I mean, after this election, I'm sure you're going to have an opinion about America.
Let me explain this to your listeners, Ernie. I never intended to be doing what I'm doing now. I never had a home computer until I was almost age 71. My daughter convinced me to get one. She showed me the basics. I never intended to do any writing. It began because I sent a long email to the author of a book I read. I loved the book, and he loved the email I sent to him. He asked me if I would post it online. I couldn't post an email, so I rewrote it in the form of a mini book review. It got about three posts online. When Katrina came along in August 2005, I got very aggravated by the aftermath, ordinary people in New Orleans getting screwed, and I wrote about that, and about half a dozen websites posted that my article, including a couple of very big ones. Global Research was one that I've had a relationship with ever since. And that's what got me started. I never planned it. I never intended it. Nobody pays me a dime. Nobody tells me what to write about. Nobody directs me. I just do what I do.
And doctors and hospitals can't stop them. You know, so how did you – I forgot. I mean, I remember getting an email from you about – I go, yeah, if you want to post, you know, and we gave you the ability to show, trained you how to do it. Man, you went for it. How did you find out about Freedom's Phoenix?
You know, I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. Some web editors found me. I found some other ones. And through the years, Ernie, there have been web editors who passed away. There have been some sites that shut down. There's been a lot of change over these 15 years. And I had a blog for many years. For the past couple of years or so, I have a website. It was easier with a blog, but the website is more fancy, so I like that. It takes a little bit more work, not much, but a little bit more. And so I really like that, and I have it, and I have everything backed up.
Well, it's backed up on Freedom's Phoenix, and it's IPFS, and it's freaking there forever and always. We have, God, man, it's a full page, and it's still 2020. Hell, it's just, I got a whole freaking hundreds here, and it's only to June of this year. Holy crap. There's a...
Well, since 2005, Ernie, I've literally written thousands of articles.
Yeah, no, we got them all. It's amazing. We got to have a paging thing to get to your early ones here. I didn't even notice it didn't have all of them. God, man, holy crap. It's, you know, Stephen, it's nice to be able to have archived in and everything you had to say about something, you know. Derek, all the guest columns and articles, it only goes back to June on him. I know they're in there. It's just a list of all your articles. It'll probably be 5 miles long. We got to do a paging system because, damn, he's written so much stuff that about a lot of things. What is the – tell the audience, what is it that attracts you to write an article or a story? What gets you going?
Well, again, I never intended to do this, Ernie. It just happened, and I began very slowly. I picked up pace. It took a while before I picked up pace. I did more than one every 3 or 4 days, which is the way I began, maybe one or two a week at the beginning, and then it got up to the point of one a day, two a day, three a day. I remember talking to one of my doctors who asked me, how many articles did you write today? I said, I did four yesterday. That was probably around 2014, so that was about 9 years after I began. It gives me something to look forward to every day, Ernie. I do not want to sit around doing nothing but watching television. Even sports bores me at times. But when I write, I am not bored. I'm energized. I think it is beneficial to my health, certainly my mental health, and I think my physical health, too.
Oh, no, I'm keeping you going. You keep going. You're like Energizer Bunny, man. And you're how old? 80 what?
86.
86. 86. And, well, you know, that's one thing I wanted to ask you, the perspective that you have. You were in the Army in the 50s. You know, you're a sharpshooter, M1, freaking 30-06, and I kick your ass. You haven't fired a handgun. You know, you're definitely supportive of, you know, Armed America, Second Amendment kind of. But you consider yourself, what, liberal, progressive, and what the hell does that mean?
I just believe in the rights of everybody. I want to see everybody treated fairly. So I hate to use terms like liberal, conservative. They're too general. I'd like to talk issues. Where do I stand on this? Where do I stand on war? I'm anti-war and pro-peace. Where do I stand on the rule of law? I believe in it, and I'm opposed to anybody who breaks the law. Stuff like that. So I can say where I stand, issue by issue by issue, and that's the best way to describe me. But I really believe in fairness and equity for everybody. I don't like to see the privileged few benefiting by screwing everybody else.
Yeah, and it's just but see, a lot of this cancel culture, they feel they're getting screwed, man. We got screwed because somebody didn't give us something. You know, you can see how corrosive that mindset is, that, you know, some government owes somebody something, and then they got to use force to go get it, and, you know, you need to give me your house because you're too rich or something. It's just weird. That's such a corrosive mindset. What do you think the mindset should be? What's the proper role of government?
Well, again, if you have fair and equitable governance, that everybody gets treated the same way, you don't favor some over others, which is the way the U.S. is in the extreme. Things weren't perfect when I was growing up, but the country was much more fair when I was a kid growing up. Things were much more affordable. I could never do today what I was able to do then. I got into a top school in 1952, a kid with nothing going for me. I could never do that today. And education, higher education, was affordable. My freshman year at Harvard, $600, Ernie, for the whole year. $600.
Yeah, but education now ain't freaking worth it. Who cares? I'm next. Give me an internet account. I'll figure it out myself.
It meant something then.
I know. Sure did. Oh, and a union card. See, I'm not opposed to unions. You want to collectively bargain, peace out. But, you know, it's all how they, in the name of forcing everybody. But, yeah, we're in the end of the show, man. Music's going. Steven Lendman. Go read a couple of his articles. You know, you see him on Freedom Phoenix all he's always got at least four up on the front page. You know, and something about something. Now you know his philosophy. He's 86 years old. He's been around the block. He believes in, you know, he's going to do it. He's good rap. And he's got an opinion. Well, you're going to have an opinion, too. Hell, you can even criticize him. No, I don't care. So comment section 4. Join these talks.